How important it is that we rejoice in life and all things and all situations. You know, God wants us to ride on wings as eagles. He wants to take us above it. He wants to take us into rest. And yes, things happen in life, things that we have no control over. Tragic things happen. Unexpected things happen. But we have a refuge. We have a place in Him where He'll take us far above it. Where there's that perfect peace of His presence. And to where you can have joy. As the Word says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. He'll give us beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for morning. How many have found that to be true? You go through those seasons and there is a time to mourn, a time to dance, right? But every time we go through something, you know, it's God strengthens us. He conditions us. He prunes us a little bit more. He reveals Himself even more. We're getting to know Him and getting to know of His faithfulness. You know, we need to have that kind of confident assurance so that no matter what happens in the days to come, we know our God. We know our God is faithful. And we know our God is able. And anytime those anxious thoughts come in, you take them captive because they're illegal. Amen? We don't tolerate that. Hallelujah. Instead, when you hear the wolf, you look to the shepherd and say, Lord, what do you say about it, right? I might listen to that voice. I'm going to listen to what he has to say about it. It's not what am I going to do. It's like, Lord, what are we going to do together? Never alone. So much is connected to our thought life, you know, to what we allow, you know, or disallow. And that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. And part of that is the mind also being renewed in the knowledge of the truth. And we realize that there's just certain things we don't have to tolerate. We suffer in this world, and some things are part of our cup, if you will, our experience. But there are other things that we are not to allow in our lives. And one of those is the enemy speaking to us. Amen. He has no audience. We don't give him audience. And when we realize he's the one picking on us, amen. It's interesting that, you know, I was listening to some people, you could call them woke, you know, who I feel sorry because they're so deluded and so deceived and so caught up in the propaganda and the lies that they're paranoid that people are out to get them. And people that really want the best for them are against them, you know. But there's just this this idea that, you know, and they're listening obviously to the wrong voice because they don't know the voice of the shepherd. But God wants us to learn to hear his voice and to navigate by his voice, by his will. And you know, when the Lord is serving wine, you drink wine, amen? And there's times when just God wants just to give you an extra measure of joy, right? And we need that, and there's healing. Even, you know, laughter works as a medicine, right? Other times, we're just getting fed some good bread, you know? But he's the refreshing. He is the fountain of living waters. And, you know, our will is very much a part of us, and it has to be engaged in our walk. So it's not like we say, Jesus, take the wheel, and we do nothing. We just go for the ride. But we partner with the Lord and cooperate with the Lord and do life with him. And so we're like, kind of like, you take that side, I'll take the other side, and I'm just going to follow your direction. I'm going to trust you know where to go. So there are times when God gives us the choice to make where it has to do with even his will. There's a perfect, and you know, and then there's a permissible. And often God will say, if that's what you want, then you can have that. But my best for you is this. And sometimes God's best for us is not the easy. It's not the comfortable. Sometimes there's suffering in the offering. And so we have to overcome ourselves in order to be in a position for God to have a vessel that is willing, right, to do life together with him in this world. So this is just kind of something that I was mulling over a little bit earlier in Acts 21. It's not on there, Judy, but I'm just going to read it to you. Verse 8 through 14. On the next day, this is, Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied, and as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now when they heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." So listen in verse 14. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." You get that? Sometimes the Lord, there's some flexibility. Okay? And God will say, "This is what I want. This is my perfect will for you." All right? And in verse 4, it says, "In finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days." This is prior to this. "And they told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem." Is there a contradiction here? They're saying, don't go up to Jerusalem. And then, you know, Agabus prophesies and, you know, talks about there's going to be imprisonment, right? And Paul said, and they tried to persuade him not to go. But he said, "Why do you break my heart, right?" He says, "For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And so when he would not be persuaded, we see saying, "The will of the Lord be done." Do you see a conflict here? Said by the Spirit, and then they're saying, "Well, the will of the Lord be done," because there's some flexibility in that Paul could have chosen not to go up to Jerusalem. You see, sometimes the Lord will present something to us where we have the option to choose, and we do anyways. But it may be two options, a better and a good one and a perfect one. All right? And we also read that in Hebrews 11 that some would not be delivered from even torture, that they might receive a better resurrection. So they had the option. They could have chosen not to suffer the persecution or that torture to save themselves. But in so doing, I mean, they would have lost out an eternal reward of having a better resurrection. You see that? So there's this option we have to say, well, do you want, you know, permissible will, or do you want God's perfect will? Well, we could say today, I want God's perfect will. But sometimes God's perfect will is not something that we would choose for ourselves. Do you understand? Because our soul, our humanity, right, will fight often against discomfort, persecution, right, rejection of man. I don't want to, you know, be rejected, therefore I will try to, right, compromise, find a happy place where everybody's liking me. So instead of speaking the truth, sometimes we go along with what we know people would want to hear for the sake of peace. And the Bible is very clear, there is no peace to the wicked. And sometimes we can actually be strengthening the hands of somebody that's doing wickedness by not saying what they need to hear, and that is the truth. Speaking the truth to someone who's in deception. Why did they crucify Jesus? Because he spoke the truth. Why did they hate Jesus? Because he spoke the truth. Why did they shoot Charlie Kirk? Because he spoke the truth. You know, it doesn't mean that Charlie Kirk is a perfect person and did everything I agree with. I don't know his life and all the details, but I do know that he was someone who was willing to stand up and speak the truth in the face of opposition, even at the threat of his life. He'd had many death threats. But he was willing, you see, to be faithful to the one who called him and to stand for the truth. Amen. Even to the end. And now he's entered into a better resurrection where he could have decided, well, I don't want to experience the opposition of men, so I'm just going to kind of play it easy. Are you hearing me? And that's part of us that wants that. All right. Our flesh wants to be coddled. Our flesh wants to be comfortable. Amen. And sometimes the enemy comes in there with the easy way. Come on. The smooth way. Just find that happy place where everybody gets along. We're just one big happy family. If that's your truth, that's good for you. Then I don't want, who am I to say that's not your truth? You know, if you believe you can run through a stoplight, you know, without any consequence, well, that's your truth. That's your reality. Who am I to try to stop you from running a red light? How ridiculous that would be. But yet sometimes we can get caught up in coddling our own flesh and compromising the will of God. And yet if we want to receive a greater anointing and a greater authority, we're going to have to say no to us and yes to him. So God has a faithful, trustworthy vessel. Amen. Someone that he knows he can entrust the greater riches to. Amen. And that we were not going to make a mess of things, even though sometimes we still do. But God sees faithfulness and he rewards faithfulness. He gives his Holy Spirit to those who obey him. And that's biblical. So if you want more, be faithful with what you have. God wants to bring his people to the place where we're done with our life. We say, I've already died. I've already been buried with Christ. Amen. I've been raised to new life. Amen. I'm dead to this world in the sense that it's no longer, amen, my home. We're here. We're pilgrim people. We're passing through. Amen. We got to meet out a living, take care of business. Amen. But we're really living for eternity because we are eternal in Christ. Amen. And so God is allowing us to partner with him so that we can have a treasure in the heaven that will never fade or perish. Amen. And so we should be really counting the cost. And is it worth it? Yes, it's worth it to give God everything. Yes. Jesus said, if you try to save your life, you will lose it. And so it's the love of God that takes us into a realm where there's no fear, no fear of man. But we have to abide in the love of God. And the love of God can motivate us into doing things that naturally we'd never dare do. But God's love overwhelms our weakness, our insecurities, and gives us a supernatural confidence that we can do things, even if it means suffering, because the love of God in us overrides even our human weakness and this sense that we want to save ourselves. You know, the mission is more important than my own life. Never love your life more than the purpose of your life. So I was going to talk about self-pity. And that is what we do sometimes, is we pity ourselves. We want to preserve, we want to save face, you know. And And the human part of us seeks for that affirmation, that, you know, that coddling, and, you know, and for people to feel sorry for us. And I'd mentioned this morning, if you're here, about my dad, who, I mean, he lost his wife of 70 years, you know. They were married that long. They were getting ready for their 70th. And the first thing he said, and I wrote it down, he says, don't feel sorry for me. I am a blessed man. You know, God gave me my wife for 70 years. We had a good life together. And he reflected on the goodness of the Lord and was grateful to the Lord for what he allowed him to have and experience in this world. Just out of grace, not out of something he says, I've received way more than I'm worth, he said. You know, I would say more than we deserve, but he said more than I'm worth. But I thought, you know, that's the right attitude, because, you know, there's a time to mourn and there's a time to comfort those who mourn. Amen. But we have to be careful that we also don't continue to keep a person bound in grief by constantly rehashing it. Come on. There's a time to mourn. Amen. But then there's a time like David when he mourned over Absalom, where he washed himself, amen? And he got up and he said, okay, it's time to move on. And that's what we need to do. Is we just need to say, okay, there was a time for that, amen? And it depends on the person. Some people grieve longer than others. But then you come to yourself and you say, okay, it's time. And I tried to encourage my dad. I said, Dad, you need to do what, you know, Mom would want you to do, what your family wants you to do, and what the Lord wants you to do. And that is, he wants you to live your life while you're here. Amen. Mom doesn't want you up there feeling sorry for yourself. And he told me, don't feel sorry for me. But then you do, you know. But my dad, it's our humanness, yes. But self-pity can prevent us from accomplishing God's will. Are you seeing that? So I want to just touch on this tonight. I said touch on it. 12 hours later, right? Yeah. But I said it this morning, but self-pity is really selfishness. And if we pity ourselves, we will excuse ourselves from doing things that are in harmony with God's will. All right? In order to save ourselves, spare ourselves the suffering. You know, I've said it often, but if we want to be something, we have to go through something. Naturally, we're self-centered. All of us are. But when we're born again or born of the Spirit, we receive that new nature that wants to please the Lord. So there's this other part of us now that wasn't there before. So we need to learn how to submit our soul to the will of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us in order to live out the Christian life, the will of God for us. People who fail to do this, people who refuse to do this, are carnally minded. There's carnal Christians. You call them carnal Christians, that they're very natural minded in their thinking. Why? Because they refuse to submit to the Spirit. So most of what they do is from their soul. Come on. And even they serve the Lord from their soul. They rely upon their own mind, will, and emotions. If the good feeling's there, I do it. If it's not there, I quit. Moving right along. I've been there, done that, right? Christians who do not submit to the Holy Spirit, again, can actually hinder the work of the Lord. And we saw that again, you know, with even well-meaning Christians that are trying to say, hey, we don't want you to have to suffer. We don't want you to have to go through any hardship. You know, and sometimes we're interfering with people's lives when God's trying to bring them to a place where they're going to have to learn a lesson, amen, and learn how to lean upon Him. Instead, we're always bailing them out. We're always giving them that handout, you know, just to, at the nick of time, right? When God was wanting to bring a person sometimes to a place of desperation to where all they have to left to do is call on Him. Wouldn't that be awesome? How many been there? Well, all you had left to do is call on Jesus. Amen. Nobody was there to help you, to bail you out of this one. That's how it was for me in my bedroom, man. I tell you what, I was at the bottom. And that's where God met me. Hallelujah. And I thank God there was nobody there to bail me out. In our humanity, we want to do logically, you know, what we think would be a good idea to help somebody. Well, yes. And some people need to be helped. Some people need to be taught how to help themselves. Because you're not helping somebody by always helping them and not teaching them how to help themselves. Remember, I spoke last week or the week before about Peter. Again, I always bring Peter up, but Peter was interfering with the will of God when he rebuked Jesus and told him he would not allow him to go to the cross. Amen? Matthew 16:22, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me." Wow, that had to be a mind blow, because just before that, he was commending him for being the one to acknowledge that he was the Christ. "For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." And this is what we understand. The soul of man, amen, can interfere sometimes with the will of God because we want to save ourselves or spare ourselves or spare somebody else from maybe a lesson that God wants to teach them. There's even truth about spanking. I know some people have a problem with that, but spare the rod, you know. Well, we should not delight in discipline. I don't believe God delights in it, but He knows that it's necessary to get our attention. We need to be corrected, and our children need to be corrected. And so it's painful to have to discipline your children, at least if you're doing it with the right heart and attitude. But you know that the pain is going to be necessary to get the point across, for them to learn that if you continue in this direction in time, you know, you're going to probably end up behind bars. Because what we have now is a generation who's grown up with this woke ideology that spanking or discipline is not a good thing. So now they're having temper tantrums in the street because nobody tells me what to do. Lawlessness. Why? Because there's nothing modeled in the home. There was no law. There's no structure. Amen. So now they've grown up and without structure, and nobody tells me I don't want structure in my life. As if structure was a bad thing. But if you don't have structure in society, societies collapse into chaos, anarchy. And somehow they think that's a good idea. It is a good idea. They'll find out when there's no food in the supermarket because they burned it down or they looted it. And now complain about it. "Well, we don't have a store anymore." Well, I wonder why. But see, it has to begin in the home, doesn't it? And so you can't even pity a child at times. You have to do what is necessary to get their correction. I know I'm speaking to an older audience tonight, congregation, but you hear what I'm saying. It's how the Lord knows what's right for us, and He does what's right for us. And sometimes what's right for us isn't what we think is good for us. So we need an attitude adjustment. How many have gone through some things that now you say, "I would not trade it for anything. I didn't enjoy it at the time, but I have received the benefit of that experience." Amen. And at the time I wanted out of it. And how many know there's just some things you have to go through? Amen. You just can't get out. You can't rebuke your way out of it. You can't pray your way out of it. You're going to go through it. But He said, "I'll be with you in it." When you walk through the waters, I'll be there. The cross was God's plan, you know that, to redeem mankind. And if Jesus had pitied himself, he would have avoided the cross. And we would still be in our sin today. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You all know this one. Isn't that true? I was so much older then. There was a way that seemed right to me. My way, I did it my way. Well, how did that work for you? Not so well, actually. It seemed to for a season, but then the fruit of my way catches up. God's way is perfect. You cannot pity yourself if you plan on living out the will of God for your life. You can't pity yourself. You have to deny yourself. Many times Jesus was tempted with self-pity. Remember the wilderness, of course, where he said, turn these stones into bread. He was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Matthew 4:2 and then 4:3, during that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, identity, right? Question the identity. Then tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Well, that seems like a logical thing to do. You've been very hungry for a long time, and you have the power to do what you want with your will. Come on. But Jesus would not listen to that voice. But he always obeyed the voice of the Father. Because he was on an assignment. And if he had yielded and given in to that voice, he would have failed the test. Amen? As Adam had failed. And he would not be our perfect sacrifice, our perfect substitute. So in the areas where Adam had failed, Jesus overcame. And no matter how tough things were, Jesus refused to listen to the voice of Satan. You know, even when it seemed logical, that sometimes we're tempted to do things that seem logical, seem to make sense. You know, we can get in trouble even growing a church or being part of a fellowship. We can look at things through our natural reasoning and say, well, logically we need to do this or that. But if we will commit our way to the Lord, we'll pray through things and we'll say, Lord, you decide, you confirm what you want us to do. We're not going to do anything until you give us the word and confirm that word. This is what you want us to do. Amen. If I haven't got any word from God, I'm not just going to go leaping out. I've done enough of that in my life. Amen. We're going to walk carefully with the Lord. Amen. We want to navigate with the Holy Spirit. God's doing a work. He's building his church. Amen. And he's just looking for somebody to partner with him. And getting the work done. And I think that's, we're that people. We're here because we want to partner with the Lord. We want to be a part of his mission. Because this is his church. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he struggled with self-pity. But he overcame it. And finally he concluded, right, in Luke 22:42, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Do you see the struggle even in his humanity? We struggle in our humanity sometimes to be obedient. And Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered because he was suffering in his humanity. But he would not yield to the temptation to spare himself. And he would have aborted the plan of God. Instead, we need to learn also the same. To follow carefully, to listen carefully to the voice of the Lord. Because God's ways are not our ways. When I was on my trip to see my folks, I left out of that airport. On United, by the way. I'm sorry, it wasn't Alaska, but she's a stewardess for Alaska. So. But when I was on that plane, I had every intention to go and visit my mom and say, You know, I didn't know how long they were going to be around. But his ways are not our ways. And now when I look back at it, even when I got there, I understood that it had to happen this way. So I could be there strategically at that time. And I mean, I told you this morning, I planned this trip a month and a half, 2 months before. And it was the very day that I was leaving out. While I'm on the plane, I'm getting a call from Bruce saying, Mom had a heart attack. I got off the plane in Hartford and went right there to UMass Memorial to see her go home to be with Jesus. And then I was there for my dad. You know, we were there for each other, but I was there for my dad. You know, and we went back to an empty house. It was surreal. You know, because I would plan to, when I come home, my mom would give me a hug. Yeah. You know, well, she's in a better place. I just remember that. You know, and I know she's with the Lord. But God had ordered our steps. His ways are not our ways. My idea was this, but God had something better. Because I told you this morning, somebody, I said, I had actually thought recently, I got to get back. I knew I had to get back. It was for some reason, I needed to get back to see him. I don't know how long I was going to be able to, you know, I was going to have to do that. And the thoughts, other thoughts I had was, what's going to happen if one of them gets really sick or something, you know, if I can't get back in time to see him go? It was one of the things I wanted to be able to do. Right? Oh, by the grace of God, the mercy of God, he arranged it. Lord, you're so good. I could be there for her. Say goodbye. Yeah. Indeed. And you know, that was her heart too. Be able to see her kids, and we couldn't all be there, but at least I could be there. One of her kids could be there. But you know, sometimes we operate from our own logic, our own understanding, and because it makes sense to us, we assume it's the will of God. That's why we really need to pray and seek the Lord for direction in our decisions. Amen. Because a lot of times we can do things that seem to make natural sense to us, but they're not. It's not God's will for us. His ways are perfect. So Jesus yielded to the will of the Father, and he resolved that I'm going to obey to the end. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and set down at the right hand of the power on high. Given the name above every name, hallelujah. And for you and I, sons and daughters, to be with him someday, that was the joy, I believe, to see you and I with him also. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to redeem us. He came to purchase a people, a bride. We are his family. Jesus was tempted with self-pity by the Roman soldier. Amen. The soldiers as he hung on the cross. If you are the king of the Jews, Luke 23:37, save yourself. Do you see it? Save yourself. See, we may be at times tempted, right? Given the option. Well, we can save ourselves. If we would bow down, if we would comply, we would conform, if we would just compromise, it could go much easier for us, but it may take us right outside of the will of God. The safest place is in the will of God. We think about the three in the furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Were you thinking that too? They weren't going to bow down. We know, O King, God can save us, but if he doesn't, we're not bound down to your idol. And then again, by the thief on the cross, once again, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. Instead, the other one said, Lord, remember me. He said, I know why I'm here. I deserve to be here. But Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And what did he say? This day you shall be with me in paradise. Jesus didn't spare himself, and we should not spare ourselves either. And it's by the grace of God that we can do the will of God and accomplish his will. When we are motivated by the love of God, when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts and our lives are filled with Jesus, amen? When we're burning for him, he takes us into a higher realm, amen? In the spirit, hallelujah, on wings as eagles. He takes us up above it, amen, so that we're not caught up in the chicken yard, amen, and all the funk and all the stuff and all the anxiety and the fear and the insecurities. He takes us up above it, amen, and to a higher realm so that we could just kind of watch what's going on. That's why Paul was telling us to rejoice in the Lord always. You know, sometimes you can just lose yourself in worship and praise to God, amen, and dance before the Lord and just let it all go. And it doesn't matter if people understand you or get you or not. You're doing it not unto the man, but unto the Lord. Amen. I love that when David danced before the Lord. Amen. He just had to let it all go. You think you and I have stress? Can you imagine what King David went through? Man, he had people, enemies everywhere. Can you imagine what Trump is going through even? He's trying to do us a favor and people are constantly attacking him. I want to talk about just a few more things here and then we'll... Jesus fully obeyed the Father's will. Now, one of the other things that we deal with is some statistics, okay, that there are more people, more pastors getting out of the ministry right now than are getting into it because of the pressures and the things that come with. Now, if we pity ourselves, come on, then we can easily be dislodged from our calling or doing what God has called us to do. If we're in it with any kind of selfish ambition, even, which can be very subtle. Sometimes we don't realize that, you know, how much we can sometimes be involved in the whole thing, you know. Then whenever we're rejected by man or misunderstood or lied about, ever have that happen, that we can just say, it doesn't matter. What matters is that I have obeyed him, that I have pleased him. Amen. Because it's really not about me. It's about Jesus. It's about pleasing the Lord. Pleasing the one who sent me. And that's why Jesus could do the will of the Father. Because he didn't come with his own agenda. He didn't come, amen, looking for the praises of people. He came to do the Father's will, amen. And he committed himself fully, even to the point of death on the cross, to fulfill his destiny, to do what he was called to do in this world. Likewise, we want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And again, we cannot love our lives more than the purpose for which God gave it to us. So we take what he's given us and we give it back to him. And if we humble ourselves and we give our lives over to him, then he will give us his power. Amen. He'll undo us with his power and he'll raise us up above, all right, all the things that can happen that could shake us, amen, and cause us to fall from our own steadfastness in him. God wants his people to be strong, all right? So he's developing us in our character through even the things that thus far we have experienced. It's all part of the process of God developing and raising up a people for such a time as this. You were born for such a time as this. It's not over, amen? We're just getting started in this move of God. I see it. Do you see it? There's a freshness, there's a move of God happening in the earth and in our nation even. And even in the Northwest, it's beginning to rain in the Northwest. And there's an awakening happening, even through the tragedy, even through the death of Kirk, for example. That was one of the sparks, amen? There's going to be other sparks, but what happens is it'll cause people to rise up, amen? And get in the fight. We're on the winning team. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Hallelujah. We know how this ends. Jesus is going to reign. Hallelujah. And he sent us out there, amen, as sheep among wolves. But he hasn't left us alone. He's with us in his spirit. He empowers us to do what we couldn't do naturally. And even overcoming ourselves is impossible without the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep the tank topped off. Remember Paul and Silas again? This is another one. They're singing praises to God at midnight, remember? Acts 16:25. And the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loose. What were they doing? They had overcome themselves by giving God praise. They were magnifying God. They were putting their focus on the Lord. They were exalting the Lord, and the Lord was lifting them up above it. Come on. To even when they were leaving out of prison, they could rejoice that they were counted worthy to receive stripes for the name of Jesus. That's something supernatural, folks. You just don't naturally like to be beat. Amen. But God will give us the grace when we need it. Trust him. Call on him. Praise him in the midst of the storm. Hallelujah. Never quit. You can't lose if you don't quit. Paul told Timothy, I finished with this, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangled or engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. If you're entangled in anything in this world, get untangled so that you may please him. Come on, we're soldiers. We need to soldier up, amen, as God's people. God will give us the grace we need, the strength we need. We called Moses. Moses wanted to pity himself. He wanted to spare himself. He didn't want the job. And God said, well, Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Some say that he had a speech impediment of some kind, maybe stuttered. So the Lord said to him, oh, you poor thing. Oh, no. Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Oh, even the blind, he said. Have not I, the Lord? We saw this brother come in this morning, Joseph. Remember? On a skateboard. He had one arm. All right? He came in on a skateboard. Beaming. The epitome of health. He looked really healthy. Well, I found out he's been in Special Olympics. Okay? And I had to ask him, I said, man, were you born that way or did something happen? He says, I got ran over by a train when I was like seven. I think he was seven, not five. And I'm like, no wonder. He cut both his legs off and his arm. But his attitude, see, he didn't pity himself. He wasn't caught up in a pity party. He's going to live his life when he's going to live it for the Lord. God told Moses, I'm going to be with your mouth. I'll teach you what you need to say. Don't make any excuses because I'm not going to spare you. I'm not going to let you get away with it. You're going to do what I say. Same thing he did with Jonah. You can try to run, but you can't hide. I'm going to get you one way or another. And then Jeremiah, he said, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I'm a youth, too young. And the Lord said, do not say I am a youth, For you shall go to all to whom I send you. That was his reply. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Now the Lord of glory spoke to him. I think you need to say, yes, Lord. Amen. And all of us are tempted with self-pity at times. But we need to overcome it in order to live out the purposes of God for our lives. So we need to be Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. How important it is. I guess I can say this tonight because we're family and it's not being recorded. It's not going over the airwaves. Maybe it should. But I see how blessed we are as a church. You mentioned, you know, there are so many people that are living an anemic Christian life. You know, they're dried up and they don't even know it. You know, they're lukewarm and not aware of it. They're playing church quite well, but don't realize how dead they are. You know, and yet God wants to breathe on their lives. You know, God wants to bring revival. He wants to bring a refreshing, you know, but it's not going to happen if we don't get over ourselves. If we're not there for self, amen. If we're there for self, then, you know, why are we here? We need to receive. We need to be equipped, but not just so that I feel good, but so that I'm equipped to do the work that God has called me to do and partner with Jesus and meet him outside the camp bearing his reproach. Come on. For here we have no continuing city. We're looking for one to come. God says, take up your cross and follow me. Don't spare your life. If you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you'll find it. You know, we can lose ourselves in his love. Remember the song years ago, Lost in Love? Well, we get lost in God's love, and he takes us to a place, amen, in the spirit, to where, Lord, we're just willing to do whatever you want me to do. What can I do for you, Lord? Are you hearing me? That's what I want. I want to be obedient. No matter the cost, I want to have a heart that's quick to respond to the voice of God and to do what he's called me to do. And I find that when I do what my flesh does not want to do, God meets me in that place and he gives me such joy. You know, sometimes it's just, I get to do things I don't want to do. But when I do what I may not feel like doing, but I know it's what God wants me to do, then the good feelings follow faith. And he gives you good feelings too. But it'll be the feelings of his joy and not just my natural joy. Amen? It's not just my peace, but it's that peace that passes all understanding. So never allow self-pity to interfere with God's plan for your life. Fully commit. Brother Wayne had mentioned at the men's breakfast yesterday that today there is, especially among the younger generation, a lack of a willingness to make a commitment to the body of Christ, to the work of God, to the will of God. But there's a remnant. And God has a way of shaking things to wake people, to cause them to understand the value, come on, of being connected to the body of Christ, being a part of something bigger than themselves. Amen. And understanding the value of being committed to one another. We need people, amen, that are going to be faithful. Amen. There's times when we need others to watch our back. Amen. We need each other's back. Amen. We need to be there for each other. Amen. And if you're going to do partner with somebody, you want to know that partner is going to be faithful. Amen. That they're going to be there for you. Jesus found himself at the end of his life. Where did everybody go? They all scattered. Even the one who claimed he'd never do that. Lord, I'll never forsake you. I'll never deny you. Even Peter. Why? Because he was functioning from his soul, relying upon his own ability and not understanding that what he was facing was going to require more than himself. And that's what God does, is he brings us to a place where we realize, I need more than me in this. That's a good place to be. That's when the hunger comes in. That's when the desire, the passion comes in. I need God. I can't do this without the Lord. Amen? I don't want to just be doing church. I don't think anybody here does. We want the Spirit of God to move. And we want to move with the Spirit of God because He's the one that's going to get the job done. Amen? When we partner with Him, we'll work together and get it done. But it's not going to be from our own human ability. So many today are trying to do the Christian walk, the Christian work, by relying upon their soul power. Just doing what they could do naturally. Are you hearing me, somebody? Well, anybody can read from a curriculum book. Amen. But what we need is to hear the voice of the Lord, to know the voice of the Lord. And God wants to use you and I, amen, to do supernatural things. Come on. He wants to bring the supernatural into the natural, amen? And He's looking for vessels to work through. We'll prophesy in His name, amen? We'll heal the sick, that will cast out demons, amen? That will raise the dead. God's looking for a people who are willing vessels for Him. And that means they're willing to pay the price. Amen? To be in a position for God to use in such a way. And that means I have to deny myself and I have to get a hold of God and I have to rely upon Him. Because if you're going to step out for God, you want to know, amen, that you've heard from God and that God is going to answer. Amen? God's going to back up His word. Come on, and He will. But you don't want to put yourself out there unless you know you've got a revelation from God or you've heard a word from God. Amen. And sometimes God's just going to put you in a situation where you have to trust Him now. Why is He doing that? Because He's trying to teach you how to rely upon Him and not upon your own understanding, not upon your own ability. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight.